Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Joltmaniac, and I have the co-hostess with the mostest, who actually has an interesting DM name of his own, and I'll let him share that with you.
Ah, yes. So I'm Morgan Jenkins, back from the dead. No, I haven't been dead, though I have been a hula hooper, apparently.
Ah, and, yes. If you want to learn more about that, please go to morganjenkinshoops.tumblr.com.
We discovered it, and we are having so much joy. I only remember at least three of these hooping occasions. The rest are lost to time.
Ah, yes.
And if you go to the dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net forums, you may discover me there under a number of names before I finally settled on one, including at one point, I think, Morgan Jenkins Jenkins. I'm now DM Doug Spiracy, for I still maintain that every fifth out of five NPCs is mysteriously named Doug, and clearly there is something nefarious at work.
Indeed, there is. It is a Doug-spiracy. And not only that, it only took Morgan months to make an actual name. But I can
literally
I've come to find
years.
Out that it is because Australia's internet is awful.
So slow. So terribly, terribly slow. And in making it faster, they have actively made it slower.
I'm not going to lie. We started our conversation about that, and it got sad. So let's talk about something happier. Like episode number 65, Long Ago in a Distant Land. And I was kind of the guest for that one because we talked about Samurai Jack.
Something that you know absolutely nothing about.
No, I did not watch it when it was coming out. I did not watch it again. I do not own all the DVDs. I did not buy the comic run when it came out from IDW, and it is great. Jim Zub, you're amazing. On top of all those things I didn't do, I also didn't, but yes, I did, do DMnastics number 53, Order of the White Tiger. So for this one, I thought it'd be cool just to add a samurai order to the world of Dayaimbe. So I kind of threw out some of the basics, and what spurred me on was I just stumbled across a random image of an awesome looking armored samurai riding a white tiger, hence the Order of the White Tiger.
It's pretty spectacular looking.
Only to come and find out that there are a lot more white tiger images than I ever thought there would be.
And quite a number pertaining to samurai as well. It seems to be quite a selection of them.
Yes, it definitely led to some awesome imagery that you can go find on the forums if you wanted to. So we are going to talk about what the awesome forum users brought to us. I think that the best place to start, though, would be the Edict of the White Tiger by DM Sam. And since it's something awesome to read, we'll have Morgan do it.
The Edict of the White Tiger by DM Sam. Pride, thy great enemy. Vigilance, thy true friend. Pain, thy wise teacher. Defeat, thy stern rebuke. Might, thy great illusion. Wisdom, thy true strength. Existence, thy one virtue. Death, thy only sin. How cool is that? Like white tiger cold.
Ayo, I see what you did. And it was one of the like the very first entries. And so I think it did a great job setting the tone of the rest of the awesome information that we have. So another fun fact is the alignment of the order is lawful neutral.
My favorite alignment.
Really? Explain.
Yeah.
Go on.
I always enjoy lawful neutral because it's one of those ones that's difficult to play properly. Because you naturally find yourself wanting to move more towards a, say, like a neutral chaotic, or you don't want to follow, how do I word this? Because if you're lawful good, you're following the letter of the law, you're doing it all as you should. If you're lawful evil, you're being an absolute meanie about it, and you're like, I'm going to do all the terrible things because slavery is allowed and la 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 la. But lawful neutral a lot of people that pick it start to find themselves leaning one way or the other, in the same way that when you play, you try and play chaotic evil and you start to actually lean back towards more neutral. I found it's very difficult to stick to true neutrality when dealing with different laws within a land. Maybe that's just me.
No, I agree, because I think it's very difficult because I feel like you're going to falter on one or the other, either the lawfulness or the neutrality.
Yeah.
Both are difficult to do well, and then you put them together. So from DM Foreclosure, their idea was that lawful is a must, because with a code of honor, you have to have that lawfulness. But neutrality seems like a good place for a tiger, because it's balancing between that nobility and that ferocity. Interesting. Oof. Have fun, anyone that wants to play, in this order. Have fun.
But I feel like that could actually lend itself to being part of this order quite well, because you are then battling and trying to stay true to this code of honor and stay true to this neutrality of not getting involved in things. And inevitably, if you're with a party who aren't necessarily from your order, they might be getting involved in things, or you yourself might feel conflicted, or your character might feel conflicted. So it allows you to have potentially some very interesting character growth or deconstruction of your character as you find yourself potentially moving away from the central edicts and then having to bring yourself closer, or choosing whether you then want to still stay true to the Tiger Order. Or even if you're playing with other members or coming across NPCs that are part of your order that you feel have moved away from this neutrality or from the lawful honor, you know, that the White Tigers are meant for. You know, if they've moved away from the central edict, how do you then go about reprimanding this? Or do you? Because when you're out in the world, it's a little bit different than just being back at home and being within the confines of the order itself.
Those are the exact thoughts I was thinking, in the sense that, is that lawful neutrality an individual thing? Is that lawful neutrality the close group that you're with? Is it your entire clan? Or is that lawful neutrality above the entire order? Do different clans neutralize themselves, if that makes sense?
Yeah. And to different members of the White Tiger, that it probably will mean different things. Mm. Mm-hmm. So you come across members of the White Tiger Order who genuinely believe they're still following that central edict, but they're doing it in a very different way from your own character or from another NPC.
Awesome. So one of the kind of central themes that also was involved with the Order was their undeniable ties to actual White Tigers in some way, shape, or form. So a lot of the imagery that I put onto the forums has very large, often mythical or magical proportions, tigers. I mean, the very first one, the guy is full clad in armor riding a tiger, which that Siegfried and Roy taught me that don't work. But the other ones all have tigers with them. So that bond, so bonded mount, almost that starts to get into more of the mechanical perspective of the bonded mount and the samurai. But the tie starts from the youngest age for both the tiger and the samurai.
I find the ritual of the bonding ceremony, sort of bonding them to their mount, that's been written here by DM Foreclosure and Frotastic, very reminiscent of a, I think, and I'm going to get this wrong and nerds are going to get angry at me, is it Grey Wolves in Warhammer 40,000? I don't know.
But, oh, you mean the Space Wolves?
It's Space Wolves. That would be it.
All hail Russ. This nerd will get mad at you. Don't worry about it.
Nah.
Hey, Lemon Russ for life, man. Lemon Russ for life.
There was a book that I read of actually going through sort of what it required for them to become members of the Grey Wolf. The Space Wolves. Sorry. I'm so sorry. The French Wolves.
I mean, it's okay. They live on Fenris, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's all good, buddy.
Oh, gosh.
Why can I hear a knife sharpening in the background there?
Don't worry.
DM Neil, what's going on there, mate?
Furiously buying my ticket to Australia.
But yes, just this idea of having to go out into the wilderness and then waiting for their tiger and being bonded to them at a very, very young age. And then having the wolf then, because of course, the wolf, having the tiger then receive increased intelligence and strength and lifespan. And that's always the biggest one for me is lifespan, because you get these like, we're totally going to be buddies forever. And then the wolf dies at the age that wolves do. And then the dude keeps going. Or in this case, you know, the tiger would, and then the person keeps going. So you'd have to have them continuing along with them. But my question there would be, would you have situations where if the mount dies, does the person die? Or if the warrior dies, does the mount die? Are they that entwined? Or do they continue on beyond each other? Or containing parts of, you know, memories or the like?
I feel like you'd have to have like an ultimately like super troubled soul after that. So this is actually a concept that, and story and character concept that DM Rowan put on to the forums. And she had originally said that the picture, because it almost has like a ghostly image of a white tiger behind the character, it said that that person had lost her companion in battle and maybe taken a level of barbarian. So I actually inquired more because it was such an interesting concept, obviously interesting enough for Morgan to also think of it. And so there's actually a backstory about how broken kind of this person is and how like kind of off kilter they are after having lost their bonded companion, which I think is an awesome way to go about it.
And whether that's happened to your character as a backstory or whether you have an NPC that is part of this order that is possibly even one of the teachers or was one of the teachers and no longer does and instead lives in seclusion that maybe you want to talk to because they know a particular style of fighting or a particular secret of the area and they are loath to interact with other members of their order or with anyone because of this great loss that they felt that they get reminded of every time they see another member of the order still with their tiger that they have been bonded to, and to feel that loss and to, you know, to then have to encourage them to sort of not embrace it but accept it enough to then be able to assist you and you know, and then possibly also bring into that level of care and worry about your own tiger and your own self and your own soul, because clearly this is something that could happen to you. And to then go slightly more wary into battle.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say besides awesome. The other fun thing that was on the forums was that the notable achievements by the Order of the White Tiger was that they nearly wiped out an entire race of Gorgons or Medusas. And that was when they found out that the White Tigers, once they've kind of like transcended into the more bonded mount aspect, are actually immune to petrification and can convey that property to the rider, the person that is bonded with them. And so they are the perfect Medusa hunting crew.
Lovely. Especially lovely because I just realized that that says Gorgons, because I was about to have a bit of a word with, was it Rhett Samner?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for a moment I thought it said Morgans. Why would you? Why? What did we do to you?
They killed an entire race of more.
what did we do to you that you had to then do this?
All no, but that's, Morgans.
But I feel like that's fantastic because it means that even if this could be part of their sort of holy mission now that they've discovered this immunity to petrification to actively seek out and destroy more of these creatures when they arrive and other creatures like them.
Definitely.
Also, just talking about sort of notable achievements and also, I guess, notable members, I love on the forum how the second photo is just a white tiger in samurai armor.
Yes.
And my brain immediately thought to the first picture of the guy riding the tiger in armor, and it's like, well, clearly at some point the tiger has just eaten him and stolen his armor. Which is, of course, not what's happened, but...
No, but I think we should take that as our personal exercise and lift some weights. What is the story behind what appears to be a were-tiger? That was kind of my initial, like, really off the cuff thought was that maybe there was a clan within the Order of the White Tiger that thinks like that's what the bonding process should be. And rather than a bonded mount, they've gone down kind of the were-tiger road.
Well, I guess the other question there is this something that they are striving towards achieving, or is this something that they have already achieved? You know, do these sort of half-half creatures already exist where you actually fusion, huh?
Fusion! Fusion! Ha!
And then you and the tiger just straight up woo, we're one person. Or...
Ooh.
Like, are you fusing with your mount and then with this cub that you have that sort of shares such a bond with you already, are you just taking that to that next level and sort of fusing the two elements to create this ultimate warrior for a short period of time? If so, are there some drawbacks? You know, once the fusion is on, you've got, you know, the beastly rage and your abilities and your strength have increased. You can take these wounds, you can use your teeth, and then once your eyesight is better and smell and hearing, but once it finishes and you unfuse and you go back to your disparate elements, is there a negative impact to that?
Yes, I absolutely love the idea of fusion, ha. don't you dare think there won't be awesome sound clips for that. The only kind of thing that's coming to mind is like the way that they talk about Blade, where he has all of their strengths and none of their weaknesses. But like during that fusion process where there's none of the weaknesses and all of the strengths, but when it's over, the opposite. Like the weaknesses of both are inherent in both until they can get past that exhaustion and just that process of them fusing.
And also, I feel like it would be interesting if they then, like, the need to fuse became like a physical pain after a while. We're talking like 5, 10, 15 years into doing this in battles. It starts to become a need where if you don't fuse, you will start to feel physical pain from your lack of fusing. Kind of like it becomes like a drug, like this, you need that fix and it becomes an addiction. And so whether they lock themselves up and fuse just so that they can deal with this craving, or whether they actively seek out battles where they would have to do this, and then dealing with the idea of trying to stay true to the order and true to the edict and maintaining this honor and this code while still being, you know, addicted to needing to become this brutal warrior more and more often, even though each time it progressively gets harder and harder and the aftermath is more and more difficult.
Ooh, until essentially they can't unfuse.
Well, it gets to the point where they ultimately would probably try to die honorably in battle, knowing that if they'd fail at that, their final unfusion would result in their death.
Ooh, heavy
stuff. I'm really nice to my players, I swear.
Heavy stuff. I can just see you at the table. Well, this is it. This is your final fusion. You better make it count. Oh no, that's awesome.
So anyone want jelly babies?
Oh,
have a jelly baby. There you go.
I don't know what a jelly baby is.
What?
I don't know. You live on the other side of the world and in the future. How in the world am I supposed to know what a jelly baby is?
Do you know what tiny teddies are at least? Please, tell me you know what a tiny teddy is.
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, you are missing out on the best part of being a child in Australia, murdering unsuspecting animals that are disguised as biscuits.
A jelly baby looks kind of creepy.
Yeah, and it also depends on whether you're dealing with Australian jelly babies or British jelly babies, which are very different. One is chewier and gummier, the other one is squidgier and tastier. And they are strange and delicious. And tiny teddies are little adorable teddy bears that you can bite the arms and legs off so they can't kill you.
Okay, so for you, they're called tiny teddies. For me, they're called teddy grams. And they are literally the exact same thing. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
They really are.
Yeah, they're verbatim.
Why are all these teddies called Graham? That is a strange name for a teddy bear.
Every last one of them.
Every single one is called Graham. Never mind Doug-spiracy, there's a Graham-spiracy happening here.
Okay, well, we've gone off on quite the interesting tangent. And with that, I would implore you, the listener, to join the forums and take part in these challenges, as well as other conversations being had with me, and now DM Dougspiracy, because he finally made a login.
I did. I might give it a tiny teddy, a Graham teddy face, because I don't have a profile picture yet. Or I may grab one of these incredibly terrifying white tigers. Who knows? You'll probably know when you visit us at dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some of these DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.